So I want to start this message off maybe by introducing myself. My name is Jason. I just graduated from the full-time training. It's a two-year Bible school, and I grew up in New Jersey. I'm meeting the church in Franklin, and I'm going to start working in September. So I actually really like this song, whoever called it. The third word in the first verse, it says called. And so on the outline, we'll see later, it has this word, these words, God's calling. So I hope we would see something about God's calling today. So last night's message was on the entrance into the church and our attitude in the church. And that was talking about God chose us, right? Our being in the church is not according to our choosing, but it was actually, we were chosen by God. And we were predestined beforehand to be in the church and to be a part of his masterpiece. And then the Lord came because man fell. The Lord had to come and he had to redeem us, cleanse us of our sins and forgive us. And on the cross, Hebrews 12:2 says that the Lord died. When the Lord was on the cross, there was a joy set before him. And that joy was the church. You know, in Ephesians 5:25, it says that Christ died for the church, right? So the Lord on the cross didn't just die for you and me, but he died for the church. And then the Spirit, when we prayed to receive the Lord into us, the Spirit came into us, and we were regenerated to have the life of God, to make us members of his body, the church. So, last night we should have left with a burden and a desire to enter into the church life. And in this message, we're going to come to see examples of young people for God's building. So let's read the title together. Young people for the building up of the church. It is actually a blessing to see the vision of the church and the building up of the church while you're young. If you guys read the lesson book, it says something about being under the age of 25, and I'm still under 25, so I'm still young. And even if you're older than 25, you're still young, because you have God's life within you, and that life is the life that's always new. So, I really want to impress you guys today about what it really means to be a young person in God's building for the building up of the church. So the first point says, let's read this point all together. God's calling the young people for his move. So let's, everyone, circle that word calling, underline it or highlight it, whatever you have with you, just circle that word or underline it. It is so good to be a young person. I really treasure my young people days. In every age, the Lord uses young people. Actually, even in the world, they use young people too. You know who the army looks to recruit? Young people. They look to recruit people right out of high school. And so if the world has this view of young people, actually, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the trend of this age is things are beginning to penetrate younger and younger. I'm noticing kids are playing sports on a higher level at a younger age. Where, you know, when I was in grade school, I was just riding my bike around the cul-de-sac, playing with my friends. But now you can't even, when you go outside, you don't see anybody because everyone's doing extracurriculars. So the world is even looking to capture the young people. And how much more the Lord desires to gain the young people. The Lord wants to call each and every... This word calling, you know, we were called into the church, but I hope we could have another appreciation for this word calling today. You know, the Lord needs to call us to build his church for his move. So there's some examples in the Bible, and I won't really get into them, but maybe I'll list them off for you. We have Adam, Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Moses, Samuel, David, Daniel. If you read Judges, all the judges... The king, Josiah was less than 10 when he started to rule, right? And so the Lord calls young people. And I hope you guys could all, you know, sometimes maybe you guys wish you could be older so you could have more freedom or a car or, you know, whatever you guys want. But to be a young person, these are very precious years. These years will set the tone for the rest of your life. There's things you'll do when you're young that cannot be, I mean, they'll set the course of your life. How you do, and anyways, how you do in school will determine where you go to college. And anyways, so all these things, you know, it just, you can see the picture in the world. How your life is when you're young will determine. You know, if you hurt yourself when you're young, let's say you break your leg, you might have a limp for the rest of your life. And so that means as you're young, when you're a young person, what happens today will affect you for the rest of your life. So I really want to impress you guys. It is not a small deal to be a young person today. You guys should really treasure being young. Do you like being young?
Yeah.
Always stay young. You know, we should always have the heart of being young, being a young person, never growing old. You should not consider yourself too young to be serious for the Lord. I don't know if you guys, do you guys think you're too young to be serious for the Lord?
No.
No? Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Yes. Can you fall in love with the Lord more today than yesterday?
Amen.
Can you, Paul? Amen. Yes, you can. You're a senior, right? Okay. So are you too old? No. The freshmen are not too young, and the seniors are not too old. No matter what age you are, according to the book, if you're under 25, you're still young enough. Nothing against the older saints. I'm just trying to encourage the young ones. Okay. So I wanted to share with you guys about Acts 13, and it has to do with our calling. You know, in Acts 13, there's this picture of the church life. There's a group of brothers, and they're praying, and they're ministering the word. And Paul is among that group of brothers. And do you guys know who Paul is? Who is Paul? Someone want to tell me who Paul is? Paul is an apostle. And what did he do? He what?
He served God.
What did he write? He wrote almost half. I think he wrote more than half the New Testament. But first, Paul was in the church. Right? This is before he started to travel and to preach the gospel. Right? Paul was in the church. He was praying and he was ministering the word. And then, as he was in the church, the Holy Spirit set apart Paul and the other brother that he was with. And they were young, you know. So our calling begins with our being in the church life. You know, I don't know if you guys ever have this idea that you want to be called first before you can serve the Lord. I want the Lord to call me personally so that and then I'll drop everything I have so that for the Lord. But actually, in this picture, you know, Paul wrote a lot. He traveled a lot, too. But first, he was in the center of the church life. And so if you want to find the Lord's calling, if the Lord's going to call you, we need to learn to be in the center of the church life. So the second Roman numeral says, being caught and occupied by God. And I want you guys to circle these words again, caught and occupied. So as young people, we need to learn to be caught and occupied by God. The goal of Satan, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time here, God's enemy is to spoil and occupy mankind. And I want you all to open up to 2 Timothy 3:1 through 4. And then when you guys get it, I want the seniors to read verse 1. And then maybe let me ask you guys this question now as you guys are flipping to the page. But I want to ask you guys this question. What are we occupied with? So let me ask you again. What are we occupied with? So the seniors, can you guys read verse 1? But know this. that in the last days difficult times will come. So Paul is writing to Timothy. In 2 Timothy, there's, you know, we covered the point on the degradation of the church earlier this week, right? And so we saw the degradation of the church, and the church was in a degraded situation. And in 2 Timothy, actually, the degradation had already begun, if you guys can remember from the presentation. And so Paul is writing to Timothy saying, in the last day, difficult times will come. But he's not only just referring to the degradation. I feel like here he's also talking about the world. So when you guys are all in high school, do you guys feel like it's difficult to be a Christian? It's very hard. And I feel like what you guys have to face today is so much more. It's like magnitudes more than I had to face. I was in high school like not that long ago, maybe 8 years. It doesn't feel that long ago. But what you guys have to face, it is not easy, is it? I was talking to the brothers and my grandma with the seniors, and you know, just the things they mentioned to me. I mean, I had an idea that those things happened, but I didn't realize it spread. It's everywhere. It's a pandemic. It's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to be a young person for the Lord. It is hard to love the Lord. Satan is doing everything he can. I was sharing with the middle schoolers last night about the world system. Satan is setting up a system in this world to stand against God, to make it almost impossible. But it is not impossible. It says in Philippians, what is impossible with man is possible with God. So it is possible to be a Christian, even though it is difficult. Can the juniors read verse 2? For men will be lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. And part of the reason why it's so hard for us to be a Christian is because these things are, I began to notice them. In society, you know. Anyways, I don't want to dwell on this, but you know, just think about it. You know, the people you spend your time with, your friends. I think about my friends, the friends I had in high school, and the ones I had in college. Anyways, these are strong words, but I feel like we need to. This is the word of God, and the Bible is God's breath, and every word is God breathed. And so the Lord here is warning us about the end times. The Lord is coming back. Is the Lord coming back?
Amen.
He's coming back soon, and I hope that the Lord will come back in my lifetime, and I believe he will. But if that's the case, this is what's going to happen. In the last days, difficult times will come, and men will be lovers of self, lovers of money. So I used to be in high school and college, in the beginning years of college. I had a desire to make a lot of money in my life. But then one day the Lord called me and I had to drop that because I realized there's nothing more I can do in this universe than give myself for the building of the church. And so I'm not so concerned about how much money I'll make in my life anymore. But that's just a little personal testimony. Anyways, okay, so sophomores, can you guys, the 10th graders, can you guys read verse 3? Without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, savage, not lovers of good. And the freshmen, can you guys read verse 4? Traitors, reckless, blinded with pride, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And I just want to talk about this point on lovers of God. Where are the lovers of God today? You know, in high school, where are the lovers of God? Even in our own lives, where are the lovers of God? And from my experience, the lovers of God are in the church life. There's a book we have in the ministry. It's called The Living and Practical Way to Enjoy Christ. the practical, anyways, I'll have to look it up and then I'll tell you guys. But the book is based off of a conference called the Crazy Lovers of Jesus Conference. And I would highly recommend you all to read that book. I read it 2 years ago and it changed my life. A lot of books changed my life that I read in the ministry. But where are the crazy lovers of Jesus? We should not be ashamed to tell the Lord that we love him. If you love somebody, and I had the brothers do this in my group, you would not be ashamed to tell that person that you love them. And if we really love the Lord, we got to tell the Lord that we love him. There's a hymn in our hymnal, hymn 208 says, Jesus, Jesus, dearest Lord, forgive me if I say, for very love, thy sacred name 1,000 times a day. We should learn to tell the Lord that we love him 1,000 times a day. I believe if that we would tell the Lord 1,000 times a day that we love him, oh, we would fall in love with him. The seniors, you guys need to fall in love with Jesus. Amen. I need to fall in love with Jesus. And so I start by telling the Lord in the morning, I love you, Lord. And I'd like to speak a little word to the brothers, an encouraging word. And this is an exercise I do. Maybe you guys can try it. I did it in the college training. I did it with my house. And we had this rule where when we came together to pray, whoever we thought was the manliest looking man in the room had to tell the Lord that he loved him. I feel like as a brother, the way we express our feelings is by sarcasm and jokes, but really we should learn to tell each other that we love the Lord. Amen. And so we would sit there at house time and we would tell each other, okay, so who's the manliest man in the room? And we would point to somebody. And I'm not going to point to anyone, but then that brother would have to stand up and tell the Lord that he loved the Lord. Amen. It didn't have to be loud. But he just had to tell the Lord that he loved him. So that was just something we tried. And I think it was really helpful that one of the brothers is here serving. And I can tell he's really begun to love the Lord. So it is difficult to be a Christian today. The difficult times have come. Some of us think, oh, they'll come later. But they're here. And I really hope you guys could see that. So in this universe, there are three wills. There's God's will, Satan's will, and man's will. And man's will is the battleground between God and Satan. And man, God gave us a will to choose. And I really hope you guys would all appreciate the fact that God gave you a choice to choose. He gave you a heart with a will to choose. And the Lord wants you to choose him. If you don't choose the Lord, there's only one other side, and that's the will of Satan. If you're not on one side, you're on the other. You're either on Satan's side or you're on God's side. There's no middle ground. And I want you guys to write this down, this quote. It's in the book. It says, Satan spoils people to make them useless for God's purpose, comma. But God wrecks people to make them useless for Satan's purpose. Amen. Satan spoils people to make them useless for God's purpose. You guys get that? Can you guys say that back to me? But God wrecks people to make them useless for Satan's purpose. Did you all get that? Does everyone need me to repeat it again? Okay. Just the second part or the first part too? Okay. God wrecks people to make them useless for God or for Satan's purpose. Sorry. You guys are paying attention. Okay. So, I want to use this example. And this is something that really touched me one time. This example, it really touched me. So you guys know this cup, right? What is a cup made to do? Contain water, right? Liquid, something to drink. And we always talk about the cup being filled with other things, right? Like rocks and dirt and money, whatever we like to fill ourselves with. Maybe video games. It'd be hard to fit a controller in here. But there's another aspect to this picture, which is Satan wants to support. He not only wants to fill us with the stones and the thorns, right, and the hard earth, but you could say that he wants to damage this vessel, right? So this cup, and this is, anyways, this is kind of a graphic example, but so this cup is still good, you know, even if it's filled with other things, I can empty it and I can clean it, and it's good, right? It's still a good cup. But if I were to crush the cup, this cup cannot be used. It doesn't fulfill its purpose anymore. And so this is what Satan is trying to do to us. So if we're not careful, you know, the world can damage us. And Satan really, I don't like Satan. Does everyone in this room hate Satan?
Yeah.
You hate Satan?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to teach you guys a song, and I taught this to the middle schoolers, and you might have heard them walking around singing it already. It goes like this. Satan is a creep and a big fat liar. We're going to kick him in the lake of fire. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus lives in me. Do you guys want to sing it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's sing it. Satan is a creep and a big fat liar. Come on, Paul. Kick him in the lake of fire. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus lives in me. Satan is a creep, and he's trying to damage us. He wants to do everything I'm serious. Like, he will do everything he can. I don't even feel comfortable saying the things that exist in this world that he's trying to use to damage us. And I think you guys know what I'm talking about. You guys, these are things your friends may talk about, things you see on the internet, things you hear in social media, things you see on news pages, and you're just like, why would anybody think this is okay to put on for others to see, you know? I don't think any young person should be exposed to those kinds of things. It's a real damage, and those things can haunt you. This is a hard word to take. I wanted to share with you on Judges. In Judges 5, and this is something to encourage the sisters because... Anyways, this is a story about Deborah. Do you guys know the story about Deborah? Does anyone here know Deborah? Is there a Deborah in this room? Oh, okay. Well, if there is a Deborah, don't go to her and tell her everything about the message. I don't want her to feel uncomfortable. Well, this should encourage her too, but anyways, oh Lord Jesus. Judges 5:15 through 16, it says that there were great resolutions in heart. I'm only reading portions of the verses, but that there were great resolutions in heart and that there were great searchings of heart. And so Judges 4 and 5. You know, the book of Judges is really interesting. The children of Israel, they got into the good land, but they kept falling into idolatry, and so the Lord would give them up to the Canaanites and other groups of people to try and get them to turn back. And so when they realized that they had fallen into idolatry, you know, guys, you guys know what an idol is? What is it? Yeah, something that replaces God in our heart. And when they realized that, they would cry out to God, and God would send, would give them a judge, and the judge would deliver them from the people that were over them. And so the Canaanites were had taken over the Israelites, and they were crying out to the Lord, and the Lord sent them Deborah. Hallelujah for Deborah. And when there were Deborah was calling for the Israelites to come up for battle, not everyone came. If you read these verses, it says some of them stayed. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds listening to the piping of the flocks? But in the divisions of Reuben, there was great searchings of heart. And so the Lord is calling us. And so each one of us needs to have great resolutions of heart and great searchings of heart. Our heart matters a lot to the Lord. Our decision to choose is in our heart. Do you guys know Joshua 1? So Joshua 1, Moses had just passed away, and the children of Israel were at the river, and they were about to cross into the Jordan. And Moses, Moses passed away, and he was the one that, was leading them. And so I want to read you some verses here. After the death of Moses, the servant of Jehovah, Jehovah spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' attendant, saying, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, arise and cross over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I am giving to them, to the children of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you as I promised." Every foot, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given to you as I have promised. The Lord has promised us the rich experience of Christ, the gospel to the nations. Do you believe that the Lord wants to save your friends? Do you believe that the Lord wants to gain your high school? Every foot, every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given you. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the rivers Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. The Lord will not give us up. He's never given up on us. And there's these words, maybe I'll just say them and then not read the rest. But it says, "Be strong and take courage. Only be strong and very courageous. Be strong and take courage. Only be strong and take courage." So brothers and sisters, in our heart, we have great searchings and resolutions in heart. And we can be strong and take courage. Deuteronomy 32:20 says that one can chase 1,000, but two can chase how many? 10,000. So, we need one another, don't we?
Amen.
And Victor will cover that in a later point on companions. But I'd just like to encourage you. I had this prayer when I was in high school to turn my high school upside down. Amen. Take the ground. When we get caught and occupied by God, we can decide. We can choose the Lord's will. So why does the Lord wreck us? It's because he needs to build up his church. So the Lord needs us, young people. And we've been praying that every single one of you in this room would get wrecked by the Lord and not spoiled by Satan. And I hope maybe you guys should all pray that to the Lord. Lord, preserve me from Satan, from the tide of this age, from the difficult times, from the things in 2 Timothy 3. Lord, I pray that these things wouldn't become a part of who I am. Lord, I pray that my vessel, I'm a precious vessel of you, Lord, made to contain you, wouldn't be carried off into the world, into Babylon. I pray that, Lord, that I could be preserved for the rest of my life for your purpose. Amen. You know, we should have this kind of prayer with the Lord, and the Lord will honor that prayer.
Amen.
So let's read Roman numeral 3. purposing in our heart not to be defiled. Satan is, maybe you guys don't know what this means, this word means. Satan is diametrically opposed to God. Go look it up if you don't know what it means. In your group time. Not now. You shouldn't have your phones out. In order to stand against the tide of this age, we need to purpose in our heart not to be defiled. And so that's why I brought out those verses earlier in making great resolutions and searchings in our heart. Our heart is so important. You know, our heart was made to love the Lord. It was also made to choose the Lord. And it was also made to understand what the Lord is thinking. So I wanted to share a personal testimony on my own fleeing. So in the outline, it uses this verse, 2 Timothy 2:22. And it says, "Flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Right? So the first word is flee. And so I wanted to share with you guys a little experience I had in college, my first year of college, on fleeing. So the college campus is very interesting. It's a wonderful time. But at the same time, it's the world. It's a place where young people, yourselves, go to be without any parental guidance, no rules, no regulations. The summer school of truth, rules and regulations, thrown out the window. There's nothing. No one to tell you to go to bed on time. No one to tell you to go to class. No one. Anyways. So, I was living in the dorms, and it's you just put a group of young people together without any supervision, and it's just, I don't know if you guys have read Romans 1, but it's just like in Romans 1, and here in 2 Timothy 3, and so that's just a condition of what happens to man. And so it was my first week of school, and I was living in the dorms, and I ran into a situation where I felt really uncomfortable with what was going on around me. And I knew in my heart that if I had stayed, if I were to stay, I would fall into the sin with which everyone was partaking in. But I loved the Lord. Amen. And I wanted to be for the Lord and for His building. Hallelujah. And because of that, I made a resolution in my heart. We need to resolve. Amen. Be strong and take courage. Resolve in your heart to be for the Lord. I took a stand and I just said, "I'm going to be for you, Lord, so I'm not going to be here." And so I left that dorm. I ran away. You could say I ran. I ran from the dorm. I ran from the sin. Amen. That's what it tells us to do. We flee from all the things that could destroy us. Don't think that you can stand against the devil by yourself. So in Revelation, the New Jerusalem has a wall. And that wall is built up of stones. And in the Peter says that we're living stones, right? And so these stones are built into a wall. And that wall is able to stand against Satan. But if you take a stone and you leave a stone by itself, not built into the wall, Satan is free to do with whatever he wants with that stone. So we need to pursue with those. You need to get built into the wall in order for you to stand. I moved out of the dorms, and then I moved into the brother's house, and my life changed. I found the brothers, and I got built into a wall. And so every local church that you guys are in, wherever you are, you guys remember that portion I shared in Acts 13, get into the center of the church life. If you want to be built into your church life, the church wherever you are, you need to get into the center of your church life. And then the Lord will be able to stand in you with all the members of the church that you're in, of your local church, all the brothers and sisters against the devil.
Amen.
Then we can stand. But if you are not built in,
right,
Satan is free to do whatever he wants with you.
Wow.
You'll just be in Ephesians 4, it says that we're little children tossed about by every wave and wind of teaching. We'll just be tossed about. Your life will just be a turmoil. So that's a little bit of my testimony. To be God's testimony, we must stand against the tide of idolatry. And there's a lot of idols in this world. I have idols, but I don't stand with them. I stand with the Lord. And so in order to face those things, I need the saints. Today, your friends, young people, are in captivity. In the Bible, there's the example of the children of Israel being carried off into captivity. And all the vessels in the temple were taken away. Those vessels were made precious vessels. Young people, you are precious. Every single one of you, regardless of how you feel, is a precious vessel in the eyes of God for his building. But those were carried away into captivity. And so, your friends, maybe even us, I was like this in high school, were carried away into captivity, into the world. God's testimony, it has been spoiled in the riches, the vessels of God's test. This is from the book on page 266. Of God's testimony had been taken captive. So God today, he needs some young people. And by some, I mean everyone in this room. I hope that we could all just today, we could decide with the Lord. Make a decision with the Lord. Lord, I choose your building. I choose your will and not the will of Satan. There needs to be a group of young people to keep themselves from being defiled by the idolatrous worship. And there's a prayer, if you guys have your books, this is also on page 266. I want you guys to underline this, circle it, highlight it, do everything, put arrows. Point arrows at this prayer. And I want you guys to pray this to the Lord in a genuine way from your heart, from the depths of your heart. Today. Do it today. Don't wait. It says, Lord, from today, I would never become polluted with the world. I would stay away from this defilement. And I remember when I was in high school, I had prayed this to the Lord. I was in my 10th grade, same summer school of truth on the church. And I went back to school, and anyways, I had gotten into a worldly situation, and I kind of fell into the world. But I couldn't be defiled. I just knew, like, this was just not right. This prayer preserves you. The Lord will remind you when you're thinking about falling back into the world, defiling yourself, being spoiled, letting Satan spoil. The Lord will remind you of this prayer, and this prayer will preserve you. Anyways, I was preserved in high school, partially because of this prayer. So we need to flee and pursue. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says a threefold cord is not easily broken. So I want three brothers to come up. How about you, Paul? Matthew? Actually, just Paul by himself first. So, Paul's going to try and stand against me, so try and resist me. Come on, you're not that weak. Like,
you know, he can kind of stand, but I can still get him, right?
Now, Matthew, come up. And now I want the two of you to lock arms and try and withstand me. Okay, so the two of them,
it's still kind of hard. They can kind of do it.
But you know, there's some effort. And now I want, okay, Jacob, come up. Pull your pants down. I mean, roll your. Yeah, roll those down. Okay. So, now I want you guys to lock arms, like, and go, like, get in a triangle too. And now I'm gonna try and break into them. No. Like, lock shoulders here too. Just put your arms around each other. Yeah. We love the brothers.
Amen.
The brothers love one another.
Amen.
Brothers, do you love one another?
Amen.
Okay. Now I'm gonna try and get inside of to break this up. I can't really do anything. My point here is okay, thank you guys. My point here is we need our companions. Sorry, Victor. I think I got ahead of myself. So I'm going to hand it off to Victor now. But it says we need to flee and pursue with those. So let's read Roman numeral 4 together.
Hi, everyone. My name is Victor. And from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Been there for 6 years, but I also grew up in the Northeast. So I grew up around Philadelphia, so I've been coming to Summer School of Truths and all the conferences, so same as you guys, and it is awesome. It's really good to be here. So like Jason was sharing, Roman numeral 4, the need for companions. I think he painted a good picture of our situation these days, right? It's not easy. It's not easy being a young person. It's not easy being in this age. But here, the Lord has given us a way. And it's in this verse, 2 Timothy 2:22. And we have to remember this verse, okay? Flee youthful lusts. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. I want you to remember a few phrases here. Flee, pursue, and with those. You have to remember these terms. Because this is the way the Lord has given us. Okay, so Roman numeral 4 says the need for companions. I read this Roman numeral. I had two questions. First, you have to know, what is a companion, right? And the second is, like, why do we need companions? Because need is, that's pretty strong. So first of all, what is a companion? If we go back to this verse, a companion can also be, you can think, with those. The with those in 2 Timothy 2:22, those are our companions. The ones who we flee and pursue with. I think of it, it's not exactly just a friend. It's someone who helps us to flee and pursue the Lord.
Amen.
To go on together. There's actually a mutuality here. It's not just you helping someone or your friend helping. It's both. Your companions, you guys help each other. Help each other to go on. And we might have a view of what can be a companion? Who can be our companion? I don't know what we think. Maybe you think, okay, my companion has to be in my school. Maybe has to be meeting with me on Lord's Day. I mean, I don't know what you guys qualify. Has to play basketball. Maybe has to read have read the whole Bible. I don't know what you guys qualify, but we have to realize that, one, we need a companion. And I want to break some of these concepts. I don't know if you guys even have these concepts, but anyways. A companion, first of all, it can be someone who's older. It doesn't have to be someone your age. You can get a lot of help from someone who's older than you. I know these are the seniors, right? 12th grade. You finally made it, right? You're big dogs on campus. But, you know, you can be a companion with a 7th grader. A 7th grader can be your companion. Someone younger than you. It doesn't have to be someone your age. It could be someone older, someone younger, someone in the same age group. But the thing is, we need companions. And then also, this word companion, there's a lot of examples in the Bible. And maybe I'll just go over a few of them. The one that I thought of immediately was Daniel and his three companions. And the story of one incident with them is very interesting. There's a king, and he had a dream. And then he wanted this dream interpreted. I think he actually, like, forgot the dream.
Yes.
And then he wanted it interpreted, and then he's like, okay. He calls all these people, all the wise men of the nation to come. And then he says, you have to interpret the dream. Tell me what my dream is, interpret the dream, and if you don't, we're going to kill all of you. So that's, like, pretty serious, right? It's kind of ridiculous. So they all came to him, and then they're like, well, how about you just tell me the dream, and then I'll interpret it. He's like, no, you have to tell me what my dream is, interpret it, or else I'll kill all of you. So Daniel, his response, like, this is a terrible situation, right? But his response was so interesting, and I think you guys have to take note. His response was Daniel 2:17. So then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. His first response in this extremely difficult, kind of impossible situation was what? To go to his companions. He went home to his companions. It wasn't like, okay, let me try and figure it out. I don't know if I would run immediately to my companions, but this was his view. His view was to go to his companions. Another example is David and Jonathan. David, you guys know David, right? David and Goliath. Anyways, Jonathan was the son of Saul. So before David became king, Saul was the king. And like I was saying, sometimes your companions aren't the ones that you're choosing. And Saul's son was Jonathan, who was David's companion. But actually, Saul wanted to kill David. So if you think about it, that means his companion's father was trying to kill him. Like, would you choose this as your companion? Probably not, right? But this is who was David's companion, the Lord's arrangement. And then in the New Testament, we have Paul and Timothy. Like Jason was saying, Paul, he wrote most of the New Testament. I mean, this is the Apostle Paul. Does he need a companion? Yes. I mean, that's something, right? He wrote most of the New Testament, and he needed a companion. And what about us? It's like, well, if these guys needed companions, we probably need a companion. I need a companion. So just to show, like, we need a companion. When we think of this word need, I think it's something that's, like, crucial. You can't live without air. We need air. We need food. We need a companion. It's kind of like this is something that we need. We need companions to show how important this is. And there's, why do we need companions? Two reasons. One is we are weak in ourselves. Sometimes we're afraid to stand for the Lord. We need our companions. For example, like Sometimes the Lord is moving within us, maybe to talk to someone about the Lord. I know preaching the gospel is probably something that a lot of us are very afraid of. But so say we're together. Maybe I'm there with Matthew, and the Lord's moving within me. And I'm like, no, I am not going to go talk to this person. The next thing I know, Matthew's off. Matthew just goes up and just starts talking to him. I was like, oh, okay. Well, am I going to let my brother out to dry? Amen. No, right? We got to stand together. Amen. So he's talking, and I'm like, okay, I got to go. I don't even know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to go with him. And we preach the gospel. So sometimes our companions are there to strengthen us when we're afraid. Sometimes we're weak. We don't know. We don't want to do something, or we want to do something and we can't. Like maybe it's Saturday night, a couple hours before the meeting, and you're just like, I think I'm just going to stay home tonight. I'm not going to go. But then you start getting calls from what your companions. Hey, are you going to be there? Am I going to see you tonight? You know, these ones, this is a preservation to us. It's a saving to us. And lastly, why are companions so important? It's because we are so natural. A lot of us, we have our own preferences. We have our natural disposition. It's just the way we are. We have certain people, certain things we like, certain things we dislike. But a companion is who the Lord has put us with. There's this line from the book. It says, our individualism is a pleasure to us. And we only want to be with people like us. But it says, if we love the Lord, we should be able to be with any brother or sister. It doesn't matter if they're fast or slow, they're smart or not so smart. It doesn't matter if they are like you, they're 100% different from you. Because this is what breaks our natural disposition, being put with someone like this. Because a lot of times, if we keep on going with just the way we like, it might not be what the Lord wants. The Lord might not be going that way. It is helpful to be with ones that maybe aren't so much like us, you know. Because then the Lord is able to actually break through. Otherwise, we're so strong in ourselves, we just go with what we like, what we prefer, that the Lord's way is never made known to us. So 2 Timothy 2:22. This is the way that God has revealed to us in His Word. We have to be with those. This is the way, with those companions. This is the key. So I'm going to share a little bit about my testimony, because I felt like this is what really preserved me. This is what kept me till today. That's why I'm here in front of you, is having companions. So a little bit about me. I grew up in Philadelphia. For as long as I can remember, I had a group of brothers around me. They're not all my age. Some were a little older. Some were a little younger. But these were the ones I grew up with. And we just went to children's meeting. Who's been to the meeting hall in Philadelphia before? Okay, that's good. Some of you. But I think, yeah, maybe you should go visit. It's good to visit. But anyways, the meeting hall in Philadelphia, since a lot of you haven't been, it's like two big houses, really big houses with a lawn and property. This is where I grew up. And it's awesome to grow up there as a young boy, I guess, because there's that field there. It doesn't look that big now, but when I was younger, I thought that field was enormous. This was like, we finish children's meeting, and then we go outside. This is what we look forward to. Run around, we play soccer, play football, cops and robbers all over the property. I mean, in the wintertime, we would snow forts, snowball fights. This is what I look forward to. It wasn't the weekdays. It was looking forward to the weekend. Getting with the brothers that I was so close with. These were my companions growing up. But I would say maybe they were just my friends at this point. Maybe not so much like really my companions. But fast forward to sixth grade. I'm in school. One of my classmates asked me, "What church do you go to?" And I think I was super naive or very simple. I don't know how I got this far in my life without thinking about this. But I was concerned. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm a Christian. He's a Christian. I don't see him on Sundays. What is going on? I just never thought about anything, I guess, yeah. But so I told him. I was like, what church do you go to? And then he said something, and I told him, I'm probably the same as you. You know, I'm just the same as you. So I told him. And so I went home and started thinking about this a little bit. And then summer of sixth grade was my first summer school of truth. So it's going up, Mr. Paley right here, going up Jersey Turnpike to Queens, meeting hall in Queens. So it wasn't here. It was in Queens, New York. But anyways, I remember walking in, and it's like this huge room filled with all these young people. And I was just like, wow. this is a lot of people. But I realized something. I saw something there. And I realized what I saw was the church. I realized what I was a part of. And this feeling was crazy. It was like finding out that you had this giant family that you never knew about. I had all these brothers and sisters now. That was my feeling, like, after this time. And so now, like, there's, I don't know, something's going on now within me, within actually all the brothers I was with. So we go back all through junior high school. We are going to the young people's meetings together, the April conference, summer school of truth, junior senior retreats. I mean, we just went to every. This is how we were. I guess we kind of just grew up, like Jason said, in the center of the church life. This is where you're saved. But anyway, as we grew up, I saw that. Not only were we growing physically, but spiritually we were growing, you know. Something of the Lord was coming into us. There's a deposit that was in us. And also our little group that I grew up with, it didn't stay like that. It was also expanding, you know. Actually, coming to Summer School of Truth, I think this was some of my highlights of my life. Coming here, coming to the conferences, you're with your grade level, right? That's how you're divided up. And so you get to know a lot of people from all over the Northeast. My friends at school used to ask me, how do you know so many people everywhere? Why do you know all these people from New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Boston? You know, I'm like, they're my brothers. What are you talking about? But anyways, being in this kind of environment, I got built up with a lot of the brothers in my grade. So this is one thing I want to impress with you is that, as you're here, the ones around you, it's not a chance. It's not by chance, you know, you're placed together with certain ones and these can be your companions or they should be, you know, you should have a feeling for each other. I remember sitting in the rows, taking notes, listening to the messages. I don't know how much I got, but I got something. Something's growing up, I mean, building up within us. I remember Genesis 1:26. That was like pounded into my brain through all the years. But, you know, and as I got close with these brothers, we had some awesome times here. I remember in small groups, we would pray together. I think this is the first time I had like personal time with the Lord, was together with these brothers in my grade. And I remember one time don't know who our serving one was, but we were like standing on our chairs. We were just going crazy, like praising the Lord together. So these are the brothers that I got really close with. But as we go on, realize that there's less and less as I go through the years, and I still think about this actually today. It's like what could I have done, you know? What could we do? So you start in what, 6th grade, 7th grade. By the time you get to 12th grade, I don't know, in my class the numbers were a lot less. Jason was saying, Satan is taken captive. He's taken captive all of us, all the young people, right? And it's a fight. It's a fight to stay. It's a fight to stand. And the way we stand is actually with each other, with companions. I think a big group was with the ones that were here in the Summer School of Truth, in the conferences. We had one of the brothers I was with, his companion, we were in Philly. His companion was in Boston. They called each other, like, every day. He would come down to visit us. We would go up to visit him. We would visit the brothers in New Jersey, visit the brothers in New York, because we wanted to see each other. We wanted to be with each other. Being with the companion, it wasn't hard to go to the meetings, you know, because we wanted to be there. We didn't want to miss out on being with each other. I heard something in my group yesterday that I think they said the 10th grade sisters were calling each other or something. Is that right? Where's the 10th grade sisters? What did you guys do? So you just made a group, right, with everyone here? And then you read the Bible together or something for a whole year, yeah. Or something. But the 11th grade brothers, right? Those guys back there, they were talking about that in our small group yesterday. They wanted to make a group, add everyone in, and have a weekly call. I don't know if they talked about what they wanted to do together, but there's this kind of care for each other, you know? And why is this so important? I encourage you guys to do this, to take care of each other, because this is the way that the Bible has shown us. We need to flee and pursue with those. Amen. Who are those? It could be the ones right next to you. Look at the ones next to you. These are the brothers you're with. You could be with them for the next, if you're a freshman, the next 4 years, hopefully. Hopefully longer, you know. But you want to build up something with each other to help each other to go on. This is the way that we stand against the tide of this age. This is how we can go on in our Christian life. I just have a very strong feeling about this because I know so many brothers that I was with growing up that I don't see anymore, you know. I still have somewhat of a relationship if I see them, you know. They're always happy to see me, but I look back and I think, man, what could we have done? Could we have done a little bit more? Could he have been included a little bit more in our group? Maybe he would be here today. I guess I'll close with the last point of the outline, which is praying and seeking the truth with companions. So being with companions is not merely just hanging out. You're not just talking about stuff. But two crucial ingredients is praying and seeking the truth. Praying together is huge. You have to be able to pray with each other. I'm not saying like you can't get together and just hang out. You know, I think that's important to be together, maybe in a human way a little bit. But you have to be able to pray. I remember stories or incidents when we were driving. I was just with a group of brothers who were driving, and then all of a sudden we just had a feeling to start praying, just in the car. And we start praying for a long time, you know. These are like, I've never prayed like so hard in my entire life. We're just with the brothers I was with. We start praying for each other, praying for the other brothers, praying for the Lord. I mean, I don't know if you guys ever, like, prayed with tears, you know? But with your companions, you need to be able to pray together. This is what holds us together. Because we're not here just to hang out. We're here with a purpose, right? We're here to build the church. The Lord is after something. And we want to be a part of it, right? So we need to pray. And then there's the matter of the truth. The truth is our content. Truth is our cargo. We can be together a lot. We can pray, but we need some truth. We need some content. This will actually enrich our experience together. And so, as well as praying, we want to get together, get into the truth. So, anyways, this is the way. Young people, it says young people for the building up of the church. We take this way of being with companions, being with those around you. So, anyways, consider the ones around you, the one in your grade, and really care for each other. And if you can, try and pray together, get built up together. These times are so precious, and it doesn't end senior year. It goes on, college, actually the rest of your life. We need companions. Maybe it's not the same ones, but we need companions to go on. Amen. All right.
Amen. Let's pray quickly with your companion next to you.